We are going somewhere. God is doing something in this place, and I want us to remain in this water. Hallelujah. I want us to remain here. Amen. Well, before I start, I just want to take this opportunity. I'm aware of the time. Yes, I am aware of the time, but I just want to take this opportunity to thank God for bringing us here. Annie, do you want to join me, please? Something that we want to do. We want to take this opportunity to thank God for bringing us here. We want to thank Pastor Robin and Mama Esther. For allowing us to come and also for making us feel belonged. God bless you. Thank you, Robin. God bless you. I love your heart. Your heart is pure. God bless you. We want to thank the leadership of this house for accepting us. We've been through one of the rigorous, robust interview before coming here. I'm telling you, about 10 people, wow, they were firing on us. Questions after questions, they digging here, digging there, they want to know. Somebody said to me on that night, so what is your weaknesses? And I was, oh my God, I don't know what to say. And I couldn't find anything, I couldn't say anything. He said, all right, so you don't have any weaknesses. Wow. It was tough. But thank you for accepting us. We want to thank this church for welcoming us. And for the love that you showed us up to now, we really feel special. We feel part of yourself. We feel belong, especially the boys. It was important and imperative for us that the boys feel at home here, and it happened. So we thank God and we thank you for that. We want to bless you and pray that God multiply you in everything that you do. May God assist you in everything that you do. May God bless you beyond measure. Amen.
Thank you. Just want to say thank you very much. It's Emmanuel has said everything, and we are very happy to be here. We thank God for your lives, and we thank God for the plan that he has for us all here. I'm really looking forward to see what God will do. We are already planning something that will come up as a surprise, so I'm very excited about it, and yes, just want to thank God for what he's doing here. God bless you all. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you all. She said, amen. I just want to add the last thing, really, before we start, is that, you know, our background is French-speaking backgrounds. I came from a country called Benin. We speak French there. I was born speaking French and, you know, the local languages. At school, I completely hated language because I didn't do well in languages. So English was... my nightmare. I didn't do well. I didn't like English. And I never knew that I would end up in a country that English is spoken. So it was terrifying for me the first time I knew that I would preach in English. And I was born in England, in London, in a church, in a French-speaking church, that the outreach of the church focuses on a French-speaking nation, French-speaking people in London and the rest of the world. So the service was English. I started preaching in English, the mission, all these things. I never knew that I would be ministering in English. You know, God has some funny way of dealing with us. You know, he has some funny way of dealing with us. And I'm sure if, you know, the day I gave my life, if he showed me that I would be standing here speaking in English, preaching in English, I would, pack my everything and go back to Africa. That is true. But not only he started to unveil things and he started to unpack practically his plan and purposes for us and for me. And then I found myself in this place. So I thank him. I thank him. And I also know that God sent us here for a reason. And for a season, I know that. And I know that, you know, talking about God's funny ways of doing things is that, let's say about four or five months before Robin contacted me or before I contacted him, as I was watching a program on the TV, Nadia, she runs, I told you I don't speak English properly, but I'm trying. Say yes, Emmanuel. Yes. So, look, and then I was watching this program, I Love Cooking, and she made one of the recipes, snack, consists of avocado and radish and some other ingredients. I never, tried radish before. And, I love avocado. So I went to the supermarket, bought the ingredient, and tried that recipe, and I love it. And for the first time, I taste radish, and I love it. And every time I go to the supermarket, I'll buy radish. Every time I go to supermarket, I'll buy radish. Every time you come to my house, you will find radish, the red one. I love radish. Now I love radish. I will eat radish. I love the taste. And I start eating radish. And then one of the morning, I was at work, and then my phone rang. I couldn't pick it up, but I listened to the message afterward. And the director of ministry was saying that, okay, I've got this opportunity for you. His name is Robin, and the church is in Reddish. So if you like, contact him. I love radish, but I don't know about radish. But he said, contact Robin, and I called Robin. We had the first call. You know Pastor Robin, he is. So we talk, and he said, I want to know about you, all these things. So I said, okay, all right. But we talk, and then he said, no, this is not, I am not satisfied. He didn't say that. But he said, I want to meet with you. I want to meet with you. I want your wife to be there. I will come with my wife. I said, wow, this is serious. And he said, before the meeting, he said to me, okay, I've got 40 minutes because I've got another appointment straight after that. I am telling you, we met at that a coffee in Morven, and the meeting supposed to be 40 minutes. 1.5 hours later, we were still talking, chatting. We didn't want to leave each other. The connection was straight away. Hallelujah. And at the end, I could see my wife and his wife. They start hugging each other, and they wouldn't let each other go. And I said, whoa, what is this? Then he says something. Look, Emmanuel, I am happy for you to come. Based on our conversation of, based on this meeting, but my leadership has to agree. You've got to go through that interview. Wow. But I love radish. No, I love radish. Remember, I love radish. Radish. And then we had the interview, and then everything went well, I suppose. I think I've got 100% yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow. I didn't know that before. Oh, thank God for that. But yes, here we are today. All right. So we know that God sent us here for a season, for a reason. How long that season going to be, we don't know. But at the moment, we are enjoying serving God here with you. It is lovely working with Robin and working with this church. Amen. I am so conscious of time. Wow. My time is up. My time is up. Oh, la, la. Thank you, Robin. You are merciful. Thank you. He said, keep going. Right. I'm going to call Sandra. Do you want to come, please? Now, I've got a word for you today. It is a little bit hard. It is a little bit strong. But I believe that God is doing something this way. You know, my subject today is revival. It is called for revival. And what happened in this house today, I've never seen that before. I am new here, so I could say that. Yes? Revival is happening. The Holy Spirit is moving. That's what we want to see. We want to see the Holy Spirit move in this place. But the Holy Spirit doesn't move just like that. He moves with healing, resurrection, breakthrough, you know, salvations. He comes to meet your needs. But he also comes to empower you so you can go and be like Jesus. Hallelujah. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Your need is very tiny. But what he needs you. The Holy Spirit, Jesus needs you. He needs us. So he come to fill your life and empower you so that you can go and be like Jesus. Amen. We're going to read. Sandra going to read for us from 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2.
Yeah. Emmanuel asked this morning for me to read this, and I didn't realize the names that were in this. Bear with me with the names. So it's from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave double portion because he loved her. The Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once When they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Anna prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, her husband Elkanah told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli and said to him, Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. This is 1 Samuel 2 from verses 12 onwards. Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priest that whenever any of the people offered a sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand while the meat was being boiled, and would plunge the fork into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. Whatever the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the person who was sacrificing, Give the priest some meat to roast. We won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw. If the person said to him, Let the fat be burnt first, and then take whatever you want, the servant would answer, No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force. The sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him, and she went up with her husband to offer. With her husband to offer the annual sacrifice, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel, how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, the report I hear spreading about the Lord's people is not good. If one person sins against God, many sins against God may mediate for the offender, but anyone who sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them?" His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and favor Amen. With the Lord and with the people.
Amen. Wow. You see why I asked Sandra to come and read. Now, the time has gone, but I want us to look at this this text, this passage, or this story, right? But now, if you look at, you kind of observe the world now, observe the church of Christ now, we are not far from this description. We are not far. We are in a time and season where the world needs something. Something need to happen. Something need to happen. Look, Ukraine, Russia-Ukraine crisis just at the back of that pandemic, where we were hoping that things gonna be better. But we don't know. Nobody knows. So I think and I believe that it is time for those who are called by his name to rise up. I believe that this is a time for those who are called by his name to separate themselves for the purposes or for a divine purpose or for God's purposes in our generation. The church has to separate itself. Now the key to understand or to understanding this Anna, you know, her divine connection with heaven through her prayer, the key to understanding that lies in that chapter 2. So chapter 2, the Bible describes Eli's sons. And one word that the Bible uses here is that, I think my, yeah. The Bible says that they were wicked. These are priests. They were serving in the temple of God, where God's supposed to be meeting with his people, where the presence of God supposed to be dwelling. They were serving there, but the Bible says that they were wicked. Wickedness filled their hearts. They didn't know God. They were doing things that is kind of an abomination to God. They would eat before even the sacrifice was made to God. Wow. They would even sleep with the servant. Do you know? That's terrible. They didn't have the fear of God, these people. Now, can we see that with the church today? Can we see that? Thank you. Two, three of us are convinced that they can see that. But for those who couldn't see, I pray that God open your eyes so you may see. Because these things are real in the church today. Now, look at this. Look at this. The church is now aligning itself with what is called political correctness. I refuse political correctness. I refuse it. No arrogance. No, you know, we serve God and we demonstrate God's love. We show God love to people. But we refuse to be political correct. I don't know what that term is. We are governed by this. That's why you cannot tell me that you are part of this church without making this book your friends. You cannot tell me that you are Christian without making this book your best friends. This is God's word for you. This is where his revelation is for you. This is what is going to guide your life. If you are going to be successful, if you are going to be powerful, if you are going to demonstrate God's wisdom, love, and purposes in your generation, this got to be your friend. Your Bible. That's why today we see people, today they are in church, tomorrow they're not in church. Today they are with the pastor. Tomorrow, I feel sorry for pastor. Oh my God, help us. Tomorrow, you call them today? Yes, I mean, you call them tomorrow? Oh, I'm not sure. Day after tomorrow, oh, he's gone. Amen. I'm trying to. Now we're talking about, we're talking about Anna's connections with God. Now, the Bible says that, look, Anna, the Bible even said that God made her barren. But I think we need to dig into that. She was barren. She couldn't bear a child. Yes? Now, on top of that, her rival, Peninnah, keep having children. And she didn't stop there. She will mock Hannah. She will mock Hannah. Now, the Bible says that every year they have to go to the temple for a sacrifice, according to the law. All right? These are wealthy people. I don't have time to dig into that. These are wealthy people. So they go and make sacrifice to God. Now, Elkanah, with his gracious heart, will give double portion to his first wife because of her affliction. You see, and then the Bible says that even that, you know, the other woman would mock her. The word that is described here is that severely mocked her and make fun of her. So that she felt so frustrated, she felt useless. Now look at this. The Bible says that every year after year, these things happened. So now they go to the temple every year. The Bible says year after year. Okay, now look at this. Now something is happening in the temple. Something is happening in that area where Eli allow his sons to deprave. Come on, I'm talking French here now. You know, he allowed his sons to do those things, desecrate, at the temple of God. And she will go there, right, year after year. So every single time Anna goes to the temple, that's what she sees. Every single year she goes to go for a sacrifice, she sees that frustration, you know, and all this sin. That's what she sees. Now look, her rival was kind of mocking her. Anna will see? Anna will see the need. Now, every time, Now, every time her rival sees barrenness, Anna sees the need in God's house. Every time her rival sees disgrace, Anna will see that something need to happen here so that revival can come. Every time Anna's rival sees indignity, Anna sees the opportunity for God to glorify himself. Every time she sees incompleteness in her, Anna will look up and see that God needs a vessel, someone who will restore the true worship and adoration in the temple of God. That's what she sees. Read in your Bible. Read. This is your Bible. It is there. Read it. That's what she sees. Now the Bible says that one day, she had enough. What about you? The Bible says she had enough. Where they ate and do the things, then she rose and walked into the temple. And then she knelt down and started praying. The Bible said she was praying, but no word was coming out from her mouth. She was crying. She was weeping. She was, you know, she was kind of contending with God. She was in that place where, God, I need a miracle. Not for me, but for you. I need a miracle. Father, not for me, but for this place. I need a miracle. Not for me, but for these people to see your true nature. Because they are not serving you the way they should. And she was contending with God. She was contending with God. Now, look, she hadn't conceived. The Bible says she was barren. Now, listen to her prayer. She said, if you would give me a child. No, she didn't say that. She said, if you will give me a son, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. And he, my son, will serve you for the rest of his life, or for all the day of his life. What a powerful woman with divine revelation of who we are in Christ. How can somebody, a woman, give? How can? Without the revelation of God. She said, I would lend him to you. I would give him to you. And he's going to serve you all the day of his life. Now, do you know that is exactly what God was looking for? That is exactly what God was looking for. Somebody that would come and serve in his temple. That's what. Thank you, baby. Is that Samuel? That's what God was looking for. And it happens. I'm kind of skipping here. And it happened. And then one day, she was praying. And as she was praying, the Bible said that Eli, the high priest, was watching her, looking at her. What is the matter with this woman? What is happening with this woman? Are you drunk? What are you doing here? What are you doing like that? Come on, get up and sort yourself out. She said, no, I am not drunk. Wine has not touched my lips. But out of my frustration, out of my inner being, I'm pouring out my heart to God. And the man of God, he's still man of God, by the way, the man of God said to him, look, go. May God grant you with your request. She hadn't conceived yet, but the man of God said to him, to her, go. And then she arose. And the Bible says that her face became radiant. And she went. She received it. Because when we pray, the Bible says when we pray, we need to have faith, belief that we receive what we pray for. She received that. And she went and conceived a child, Samuel. And she's done exactly what she promised God. Now, look at this. Then God's heart was moved. And he granted Anna's request. Then Samuel was born. Then Samuel started ministering before the Lord, even as a child. Then Eli and his son were wiped out from the scene. Then Samuel restores the true worship and adoration for God. Then Samuel commits himself to teaching the people of God the commandments, God's commandments, or God's word. Then Samuel was able to restore the fear of the Lord and bring a revival to the land. Hallelujah. God wants to bring revival in this place, in this area, West Midland, the Midland, the UK. Hallelujah. Every corner of this world, God wants to bring revival, and God wants to count on you. On you. Do not say that I am a child. Do not say that I am. He said, even before you were born in the womb, in your mother's womb, I've known you and I have appointed you for a purpose. Now I can hear Jesus saying here right now, are you with me? So it is time for those who are called by his name to separate themselves and demonstrate the power, the love, and the purposes of God in their generation. I'm finished. Because Robin is moving. He's looking at me. No, I'll finish. I want to tell you, forget about your needs. Forget about your life. You see, Jesus is more concerned about your needs than yourself. He wants to bless you. Forget about that. What he needs is you. Hallelujah. What he needs is you. David says, I've been young and I'm old now. Throughout all my life, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children beg for bread. He say he is fruitful in the land. He say he never borrowed, but he lends. That's what God wants to do with you. And I pray today that your eyes may open so that you see the purposes of your calling, of God's calling for you. I finish here. But I don't want to finish without giving somebody the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. So if you are in this place and or you are watching online, and all these things I'm saying are a little bit confused to you, one thing I want you to know is that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And he wants you. He wants to bless you. So I urge you today, before you leave this place, even now, I want you to give your life to him. He had a marvelous plan for you. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus said, I have come so that you may have life to the full. So if you are online, we've got people on hosting now that want to connect with you. Connect with them through the chat functions, and they would lead you. Amen. But if you are in here in this place, I want you to raise your hand. If you want to give your life to Jesus, or if you want to dedicate yourself to Christ, I want you to raise your hand now. One there, one here. I want you to raise your hand. This is a divine calling. You know, Pastor Robin is so generous. When he comes to this part, he will say, close your eyes. But no, I'm not going to say that. Every eye is open. Raise your hands if you want to give your life to Jesus, or if you want to rededicate yourself for the purposes of God in this generation. Now, if you raise your hand, I want you to stand up, please. Stand up, and I'll pray with you. Father, I just want to bless your name for these who respond to your calling today. Jesus, I pray, reveal yourself to them. Make yourself known to them. Reveal your divine purpose to them. Let them be filled by your Holy Spirit. Bless them, O God. Lead them every step on the way, Father, and make them marvel, miracle, beautiful in this generation. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I thank you. I've got a word for somebody while we were worshiping. The word is this. God said, I will fill your heart with joy and delight again. I will fill your heart with joy and delight again. For so long you have been in a place of sorrow and pain, but I am taking you to my oasis. So if you are here, see Pastor Robin after that, because I'm finished. May God bless you. Bless you.